The next topic, the next panel is going to be mass torts and existential threats to corporate entities. For this panel, we have Judge Jernigan from the Northern District, who has handled some of the largest cases in Texas. John Beisner from Skadden Arps, who has defended over 600 class actions. I hope he didn't have to lick the stamps for class notice send-outs himself. And Professor Parikh from Wake Forest School of Law, who is an expert on mass tort restructuring and has written some very interesting recent articles. I recommend everyone go out and get copies of those. Thank you, folks.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody. So we're just going to jump right into it. You know, we have a lot of really prominent, famous cases out there that focus on mass tort restructurings. And one question I always get from bankruptcy attorneys is, that's great, we're talking about this bankruptcy case, but how did this case get here? How was it incubated? How ultimately did it run the course into bankruptcy? So we're very lucky to have, you know, John here. So John, take us through this. How do these cases, how are they created? How are they incubated? You know, what's the process before they get into bankruptcy?
Yeah, I think the thing to note is that these proceedings are largely the invention of lawyers, and the process, if you want to put the slide up there, goes largely like this. First, there's an identification or development of a liability theory. Often these are product-related cases, and they're often from the pharmaceutical industry, but not always. And in essence, what happens is that a particular product is targeted. Sometimes this targeting occurs as a result of an event, such as the Food and Drug Administration expressing concern about a particular product. Or sometimes the plaintiff's counsel simply work with experts if they have a suspicion they could develop a theory to put together an argument that a particular product does have an adverse effect. Usually these are not immediate effects. The allegations tend to be things along the line that if you use a particular product, you develop a propensity to particular types of cancers. A lot of these are carcinogen cases. Once they get a theory assembled, they try to focus on relatively common diseases. And the reason for this is they want to draw as many people into this mass tort as possible. And I've been somewhat bemused over the years that suddenly there will be a lawsuit that will explain a type of cancer that existed long before this product ever hit the market. And if you look at the CDC statistics, you find out that the frequency of that disease really didn't change once this new product was out there. So by definition, you're inviting into the litigation a lot of people whose disease clearly was not caused by this particular product. So as I said, the idea here is to amass as many claims as possible, and that's usually done through the development of an intensive, sophisticated claimant recruitment campaign. You've all observed this. I mean, all of you saw thousands of ads for Camp Lejeune. You still see hundreds of ads for the Roundup litigation, and the theory goes on. You see them on social media platforms. You see them on television. And they are very sophisticated efforts basically to try to get claimants to contact them and volunteer to be a plaintiff in the litigation. One of the problems that we'll focus on a little bit later is that because these proceedings are so huge and so many people respond to these ads, there's often not much due diligence performed with respect to the claims. A lot of people come in who never use the product, who don't have the disease at issue. And I'm not saying they're lying. It's because often all they saw was the TV ad, which lasted for 30 seconds, and they may have missed an important element of it. But in any event, the claims start pouring in as a result of this advertising. The next step in the process for the counsel who are pulling together these mass torts is to ask for a federal multi-district litigation proceeding. I won't go into detail on that, but there's Congress has created a panel of federal judges